Well, shall we turn to Mark chapter 13 for our gospel message this morning, and especially verses 31, 36 and 37. Verse 31 says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." And then verses 36 and 37, "As coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch." So we find in our Bible passage this morning weighty words, words which are heavy, you could say, with weight. They're weighty words about this world of ours, and they are weighty words about our souls. They are weighty words because they speak of what will become of the world. Catastrophic on the one hand, disastrous, glorious, and wonderful on the other hand. They're also weighty words for our souls because they speak of what will become of our souls. Again, catastrophe, disaster is one possibility, and blessing and glory is the other in Jesus Christ. Now, of course, the choice of catastrophe or glory depends on our response and our alertness to the words of Jesus Christ and the gospel. This morning and every time the gospel is preached, it depends on your response, whether your soul will know catastrophe, disaster, or glory and blessing. It's a huge difference. There cannot be greater differences. They are the opposite sides of the spectrum. Utter disaster and total glory, wonderful glory. So it makes this time and times like this morning urgent times. Not a time to sleep, but a time to watch and to be alert. That's the essence of the message this morning. There in a nutshell, there you have it. Disaster or glory. Depending on whether you sleep or whether you watch and respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. These are heart matters. This sleep or this alertness takes place in your heart, the response of your very soul. But let's begin then with these weighty words before we come to the watching soul. And these weighty words, starting off first of all with the one who's speaking, and the weighty words of Jesus Christ as the person of Christ. These words show he's God, the deity of Christ. They show the deity of Jesus Christ, that he is God and the Son of God. Something remarkable about these words. You know, these words have an inner testimony, you could say. As you read the words, you realize these are no ordinary words. These are not words spoken by some man, lost in the myths of the history and the centuries of history. This is something astounding. The words have a testimony within themselves. If you want to know whether Christ is the Son of God, look at his words. And you find in his words a knowledge and authority which is from above. What a way he speaks. He speaks as God speaks because he is God and the Son of God. But note how striking and significant are these words in verse 31. "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." What a statement that is. That the most solid matter we can relate to, terra firma, as they say, shall pass away, it says in our passage here. That all we know in this world, we see with our eyes and feel with our hands, all we know and experience shall pass away. These things shall be temporal, as the Bible says. They are temporary things and temporal things. Now, all these solid matters, we think, and this world in which we stand shall pass away. But the words of Christ shall not pass away. That's the contrast. The words of Christ will outlast this world. The words of Christ speak of truth that will stand and speak of eternal consequences which will continue beyond the time frame of this world as we know it. And so this world has a limited time and will come to an end, shall pass away, whereas Christ shall stand beyond. Now his words are spoken of here. His words shall not pass away. They are of eternal consequences. But not just his words. We can go further than that. Christ is the one who speaks, and he shall outlast this world as we know it. He shall stand in eternity. When this world is done, he shall stand, my dear friend. He shall stand in power and glory. It says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. And we sing, Thou art the everlasting Word. Yes, that's referencing John goes back into the eternity before the foundation of the world. But of course, his eternity goes both ways, as the hymn suggests. Thou art the everlasting Word. He is the Word. He's an everlasting Word. He's the Word of God. He's the expression, the communication of God himself. He is the eternal Word, the everlasting Word. A man called Krishnapal expressed this very well. He was the first convert of William Carey in India. And we have his hymn in our book. And in this hymn it says, at the last verse, Ah no, when all things else shall expire and perish in the general fire, this name all others shall survive and through eternity shall live. This name of Christ's name shall indeed survive all other names and through eternity shall live. Christ Jesus shall outlast this world as we know it. And indeed, his words shall outlast his words and are of eternal consequences. So here we have a contrast, don't we? This world and Jesus Christ. Which is greater? Christ, my friend. He shall stand and shall not pass away. His words shall not pass away when this world will come to its end as we know it. But then think of this world again. And look at these words. Go back to verse 24 in the chapter. And here we find these tremendous words about this world. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give a light, and the stars of heaven shall fall, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Now just think of Christ speaking those words to the disciples. There he said to them, words about the stars and the sun and the moon, that they shall fade away, they shall cease to be, but the Son of Man coming in glory with great power and glory. He said it then, and he's saying it to us today as well. And he speaks to us today of the future of this world in which we stand and live. And of course, our verse 31, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. What then are these tremendous words? What is this catastrophe? What is this glory as the other option? Well, let's speak of the end of this world. But also, on the other hand, the beginning as well of this world. I'll explain in a moment about the beginning. But the end of this world and this cosmos, as we know it, it shall come to an end. And the signal of this end will be the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. He'll come in great power, it says, and great glory. The Greek word parousa, the arrival, the coming, that great event in the history of this world. Now think of this world. The thought of this fallen and sinful world continuing ad infinitum is a dreadful thought. You think of the history of the wars and the awful atrocities that take place in this world, and they seem to be in our days, because maybe the speed of things, the speed of travel, the speed of communication, it only seems to be like oxygen to the fire, and the fires of sin are more stronger and larger because because of the time in which we live. And there we see this world just taken up with just awful wickedness. And you ask the question to yourself, will this go on forever? What will be the end of it? Well, of course, it'll be like a little hell, you could say. It'll be a terrible place. You see the heart of man, don't you? Despite all the efforts to reform us, despite all the education and all the acts of government, man's heart is still wicked and evil desperately. You see the frustration of governments and authorities. They can't correct man. And so man is like a fire out of control. And it seems to be increasing in the time that we live. And no doubt will do in further days ahead of us. But these words tell us it will not continue. It will not be allowed to go on, just like a little hell, you could say, because Christ, the Son of Man, will come. And God will say, it is enough. And the power and the glory and the fire of God this time, not the fire of sins, but the fire, the purging fire of God, will come to this world and will purge this world of every trace of sin. And for this world, it will be catastrophic. It will be comprehensive and total, even for the cosmos itself, as Christ says here. The stars, the sun, the moon, the world, it all will come to an end with the mighty power of God and of Jesus Christ, who made this world and made all that we see. He will bring it to an end. And it's catastrophic not only for this world, but for all who love the world. And if you love the world, my friend, then your fate is the same as this world. The judgment of God will come. But note also, it's not just the end of the world. It also marks the new beginning of the world as well, as we find in the Bible. It's the end of the world as we know it. But the world will be reformed and recreated, as Krishna Pal spoke about the general fire. In the general fire, the fire will come and take away all sin and all trace of sin, but will, in the fires of God, will recreate it and reform it. This time without sin, it will be a new creation. As the first creation, a new creation this time, but now with no fall and no sin. We read in 2 Peter 3, verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. How wonderful that is. Without sin, this world with no righteousness, this reformed, recreated world will know righteousness, which is glorious for this world and glorious for all who love the Lord. Indeed, let's look at those words in 2 Peter 3 because they are like a parallel passage to what we have here in Mark 13 in 2 Peter 3 verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought he to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. What tremendous words, my friend. Wake up from your slumber and your materialism, obsession with this world, and see what God says about this world. These are weighty words for this world. They're also weighty words for our souls. As we think of the sun and the moon and the stars and this world, think of your own soul. In many ways, this is your world and your cosmos, your soul. What about your soul and the eternal consequence of these words? Indeed, these are weighty words for you. They speak of eternity. Now, that alone will be weighty. As we think of our days and our hours and our minutes and our seconds, eternity is a weighty matter beyond our imagination, really. But also, the judgment of sin is a weighty matter also. It's not just eternity, but a world under judgment. That is why our Savior says most earnestly at the end of this chapter of not sleeping and of watching. Notice how he speaks there at the end of the last verse. And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Watch. Watch. Be alert. Be responsive. Now for those who are not watching, who are sleeping, what will happen to them is a personal catastrophe and an eternal catastrophe, where their sinful souls will come before a thrice holy God. And their sinful souls will be exposed to the holiness of God and exposed to everlasting condemnation. That your sin will meet with holiness. That your failures will meet with perfection. And not just perfection as we understand it, which is not perfection, but true perfection. A burning perfection. Holiness, righteousness, truth. Where no sin can abide, and all sin must be ejected and removed. And so it is, when you come before holiness, then only judgment will be the result. And it will be a judgment as long as God is, and as long as your soul is. It is eternal because God is eternal. And that you too have an immortal soul. And as you shall be in your sin, God will be in his holiness and will judge you forever. This is the determination of your heart. You want your sin, you have your sin. And then God comes upon you and meets you and judges you in your sin. But for those who have a Savior to cover their sins, quite different is their fate. An eternal weight of glory. As we think of the weight of the judgment, almost too much to bear, to think about. Here is a weight of glory, which is also almost too much to bear and to think about. We read in Corinthians these wonderful words, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Exceeding and eternal weight of glory. What weight of glory we shall know. Eternal weight. It is substantive. It is absolutely full of God and full of Christ. Our souls shall be satisfied in him. And we shall be surrounded with glory and shall have glory even in our hearts as we are glorified. Ah, well, these words are weighty for the world and these words are weighty for our souls. But also, then, in the light of the seriousness of these words for this world and for our souls, what weight then comes through the gospel words of Jesus Christ. You see, if you think, it's but a small thing. I have a soul, I think. There might be eternity, maybe. Who knows? If is that the way you think, then of course there's no weight to the gospel words. It's take it or leave it. It's fine for you, but I'll go my way. It's of little consequence, you think. But if these things are so, if eternity awaits you, and God awaits you, and you have a soul, then these things are of great importance. And so indeed, the words of Christ speak to those who understand, who are alert and are arising from their sleep, and to speak to you of the importance of listening to the remedy, to the solution of your sleep and of your deadness in sins. And so we see the weighty words of the gospel. Have you ever experienced the weight of gospel words? Have they ever astounded you? If not, you are asleep, my friend. But if they are beginning to affect you, as you begin to feel the authority and the power in the words of Jesus Christ, and see something of the wonder of what he is saying, then maybe indeed you are awaking to the great gospel of Jesus Christ. Now in this passage, we see here very much Christ's role as judge, but he's more well known as Savior in the scriptures. And these are weighty words he speaks about himself in other parts of the Bible. He says in John, before Abram was, I am. I am. That you have a God, you have a creator and a maker, that Christ indeed made this world, made all in this world. Before Abram was, I am, he says. Do you feel the largeness of those words compared to yourself, who he is? That he is God. But of course he became man to save us from our sins. And then he speaks about himself. Do you note the authority and the wonder and the power of how he speaks? He says, you know, to those around him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Who speaks like that, my friend, except the Son of God? I am the way, he says. Has ever man spoken like that? I don't think so. I think when they try, the falseness is so evident. But Christ carries it, because it is true. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also says other weighty words. I am the light of the world. He stood there amongst the people around the temple and said, I am the light of the world. What words? Do you think of them? Do you think of him and who he is? I am the true vine, he says. And then also weighty words about salvation. That he came to save. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And again he says, I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He speaks of salvation and why he came. He came to save us from our sins and give us life. And how does he do that? Ah, note these words. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He came to die in our place. Such is our sin and our awful situation that nothing short of a great miracle could ever save us from our sins. That great miracle is the gospel of Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus Christ. And there he takes our sin and all involved in our sin, the judgment as well. He takes it all away when people believe in him and trust in him and follow him. For those who truly believe, they shall be truly saved. And Christ will truly die for them upon that cross. He gives his life for the sheep. And then he tells us how to come to him and invites us. He says in Matthew, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. See the grace of God in Jesus Christ here. The mighty God becomes man. Ah, even he becomes the Lamb of God. The Son of God becomes the Lamb of God, the sacrifice. Who would think? We deserve to die for our sins. But he goes to the cross and dies and takes all the condemnation and the damnation himself upon that cross. He who is all life and glory receives such depths of darkness for the sake of his people. And then he invites his people. What a gospel of grace this is. The mighty one comes to the depths, saves sinful men and women, and then invites sinful men and women, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Then elsewhere he says many times, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. You shall never die if you believe in me. And time again he says, if you believe in me, you shall live. You shall be saved. You shall be saved in me. He brings focus to himself. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why does he bring focus to himself? Because he knows who he is and what he has done or would do. And there would die for sinners. And knows the importance of himself to all men and women. And he speaks accordingly. And he says to us, come unto me. Come unto me, I will give you rest. Believe in me, and you shall not die, and never die, and shall live. As he says to Martha on that occasion, believest thou this? Believe in him. Oh, these are weighty words. These are crucial words for our souls. Our souls hang on these words. Such great issues are at stake. Eternity, judgment, our souls. Christ is a Savior. And so he calls upon us to come to him. But then what of our response? Notice then the weighty words about our response. All is done. He has come to save the world. He's accomplished salvation. He calls men to come to him. What then is your response? Well, indeed, these words about your response are full of significance too. He says in verse 36, lest coming suddenly find you sleeping. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. Now consider the watchful soul and the sleeping soul. Now it says much about our condition, where such weighty matters can be upon us and we are sleeping. What a strange thing it is. And it speaks of the spiritual reality of these things. What sin has done to us. Sin has not only made us sinful people, but also made us those who are incapable of responding to God, and we are so far from God, and we are sleeping. That's what sin has made and done to us. So what are the reasons for sleeping, you could say? Well, unbelief would be one, most certainly. If you don't believe these things are so, you're not concerned. You just sleep on. And that describes so many. They don't believe. They just go back to bed and they sleep. But strange though it might sound, belief also is associated with sleeping. Even though a person may believe these words, to some extent, but not enough. The effects of sin are such, he will go back to sleep. And the love of the world is such, he will just go back into the world. A little bit like the children's story we had this morning, like getting up in the morning, the alarm sounds. If something's important to you, and something in your head says, you know, today is important. I have to be at a certain place at a certain time. It's very important. I must not miss it. And so you tell yourself, get up. And you do get up. Out of bed you get and off you go. Prepare yourself. You wash and you dress and off you go. But if it's something of some importance perhaps, and you acknowledge it is of some importance, and you know you should get up, but what will happen is this, I'll just rest, just for 5 minutes. And then a lifetime passes. You shut your eyes and off you go. And you are unconscious to the gospel and asleep. And that's how it is for so many. The signs of this sleeping would be, I think, a lack of seriousness after church services. The gospel might stir you. You might be attentive for half an hour. But when the service is over, back you go to your sleep. It's like you just stir in your bed and you turn over and you go to sleep. That is the case of so many. Other certain signs of sleeping is this. There's no soul anxiety. There's no stirrings of repentance, sorrow for sin. There is no life associated with second birth and liveliness of soul, belief in Jesus Christ, focus on Jesus Christ. All these things are missing. It's all rather vague very often, and certainly not with that focus on those matters of my sin and Christ as the Savior of sinners. And even if you are slightly concerned about these things, if there is no response, indeed, all it shows is that you have not believed. You have not repented. You go back to where you were and slip back into the depths of sleep. And this is quite a problem for our day and age and for the time in which we live. This sleeping is a major, major problem. No doubt most of us here this morning, if I dare venture a guess, are asleep. I fear today more than ever we are all asleep. Seems to be a mark of our times. There's so much sleeping and snoring, you could say, even. We are just asleep. Maybe dozing in some cases, but still asleep. And in some ways, as we sleep, you feel quite relaxed. But really, it is still sleep. And a dangerous sleep. When we consider we need to be awake, as our text says, verse 37, And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. What does watch mean? Well, it means alertness and readiness. And this alertness is in the soul and the heart. And if you look into yourself, is your soul asleep or is it alert and awake and listening? If a soul is alert, it often shows on the face and the body language. Not always so, but often so. Sometimes somebody can be all ears and all eyes, but their soul is asleep. Sometimes you see some, you're convinced they're not listening to a word. But then how wrong you are when you speak to them afterwards, just the way they are. But often it can show, but not always so. But it's not about the face or the body language. It's about the heart. That's what God sees. And God sees the heart. Ah, to be alive. What blessing that is. To be alert in the soul. Good things will come of that. If you are alive in your very soul and your spirit. Now this watchfulness is more than a description of alertness. It is a command of Christ. Christ says here, I say unto you all, watch, watch. It's not just a description of a condition. It is a command to watch, to stir yourself, to move yourself. And there's a need always, I think, even for the Christian to stir himself. Such is the condition. We are so prone to sleepiness. But in our souls, we can stir ourselves. It is something you do. You tell yourself, you speak to yourself, soul, awake, get up, respond to these things. It is God's work, but also you are commanded to watch, to be alert, to respond. Yes, you must stir yourself. You're the one who must respond in your heart and pay due attention and respond appropriately. This watchfulness also suggests something else, a response, a movement. You hear the words, and what weighty words they are. Do you hear them? Do you hear the words about eternity? Do you think about eternity? Does it affect you to think of eternity? And then you think about your soul in eternity. Does that cross your mind ever? Think of your soul in eternity. What will be for me? You might say to yourself, what will be for me? I must be ready for eternity. Are you ready for that eternity of your soul? Well, this word watch speaks of a alertness and a readiness. How can I be ready? Only in Jesus Christ. You are ready in Jesus Christ. You must act upon it and arise and believe in Jesus Christ. This is readiness. This is the only readiness. There's no other way to face God and meet God apart from Jesus Christ. Christ is our readiness. Our faith in him and belief in him. He is the life. He says, I am the life and the resurrection. He is the life. He is this watchfulness and this alertness and this readiness. Like when in the morning, going back to that picture, you wake up in the morning, what do? You wash and you dress. And then you're ready to leave the house. And so it is spiritually. And indeed, you get up out of that bed of sleep. And you are washed in the blood of Christ. Your sins are washed away. And you are dressed in his robe of righteousness, his obedience. That's the picture of the gospel. You're not ready for the day. You're quite a mess. And so you wash your sins away through faith in Jesus Christ to meet a holy God. I have no obedience. Then put on the clothes of obedience, not your clothes, the clothes of Jesus Christ. His obedience he gives you. You don't have any clothes fit for God, but faith in Christ. Oh, I can do it. No, you cannot. Your clothes are like filthy rags. You can't meet God in your filthy rags. No, you must meet God in the clothes of Jesus Christ. You don't come before God in your sinfulness and say, receive my best efforts which are riddled with sin. That won't do it. No, you need perfection to come before God, to be washed from your sins and dressed in Jesus Christ. That's why Christ is so important. That's why he is the readiness. He is the one who can make us ready to meet God. That's why you must believe in him and follow him and embrace him with all your heart. Cling to him. Hold on to him. He is your life and your eternity. Arise, my friend, and believe in Jesus Christ. And then you are ready to leave the world and ready to meet your God and Maker. And you shall, my friend. You shall meet your God. You are not like the animals who live and die. But you are set apart. You live and die and live. Whether it is a life of eternal death or a life of eternal life. It's a book by Joseph Allen, Alarm to the Unconverted. Because there is an alarm when you awake. This is how it goes. You awake. Then you realize you aren't ready. And there's little time to get ready for the day. And so you're alarmed. And you're wakened up from wrath to flee, as the hymn writer says. And so indeed, you hurry to Christ. And there with him, you are ready for the day. As our Lord Jesus Christ said many times in the Gospels, arise. Arise, my friend, arise. This morning, arise. From your slumber of sin, from your sleep of materialism, from your deadness of soul, arise, arise this morning, arise with Jesus Christ, and in readiness for the eternal day. Only Christ, he is the watchfulness, he is the readiness, he is the alertness. Arise in him, and then, oh, what bliss and happiness to come before God prepared and ready. To come before God, just think of this, washed in the blood of Christ, all your sins having been accounted for. And to come before God dressed in his righteousness. What security, what safety, based on the one who has satisfied, based on the Savior of the world. You have trusted in the Savior of the world, you shall know God in him. Well, shall we pray? Our Father and our God, we attend to these words this morning, these words of watchfulness and of warning against sleep. And, O Lord, we pray that we might feel the weight of these words, and we might indeed arise from our beds and there to be washed and dressed for eternity with God through Jesus Christ. Hear our prayers. O Lord, we pray that indeed we might know the move of the Holy Spirit in our midst, a move that might go from person to person and bring this alertness of soul. O Father, thou art able to do it. We pray indeed we shall respond to the promptings of God in the Scriptures, in the Holy Spirit, and through Jesus Christ. And thinking especially of his words here, these words, we shall not pass away. This world will pass away, but his words shall not pass away. Let us then attend to these words of eternal consequence and believe in him and hear him this morning. Amen.